Read from the law, Leviticus 13, 1, and 1 to 3, and 45 and 46. Leviticus 13, 1 to 3. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, when anyone has a swelling or a rash or a bright spot on his skin that may become an infectious skin disease, he must be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of his sons who is a priest. The priest is to examine the sore on his skin, and if the hair in the sore has turned white and the sore appears to be more than skin deep, it is an infectious skin disease. When the priest examines him, he shall pronounce him ceremonially unclean. Verse 45 and 46. The person with such an infection disease must wear torn clothes, let his hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of his face, and cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as he has the infection, he remains unclean. He must live alone. He must live outside the camp. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you on this morning. Father, we thank you that we are able to come here and worship you. Will you be with the person? Will you be with the people that are not able to be here? Will you give them grace and peace? Will you watch over them? Father, we are not worthy to be your people, but we thank you for your grace and for your peace that we can live the way we live. And we ask you, will you be with us this morning? And the word that is being proclaimed, will you give it to our heart and that we can live accordingly to it? In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to read from Psalm 32, 1 to 5. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away. Through my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of the summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Let's sing hymn 262.
Good morning. We are going to look at God's will for life today. Someone found in Psalm 15. Here's the word of God. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes is vile person contempted. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Reading of God's word. Prayer of illumination on the word today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for this day. And we ask that you would be with us and guide us. Open up our hearts to your word, that we may understand it, that we may take it to heart. Thank you again for that, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's stand and sing hymn 124, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. All right, as you know, Brent couldn't make it today, but I had some forewarning. Pastor Justin sent me an email yesterday morning and said, Brent might not be coming, so are you prepared? I said, well, we can be. So then I asked him, and I said, why don't you send me something, so I got something to go by. Because, you know, they always say that you should always have a sermon in your back pocket, just in case, you know. Well, anyway, I didn't have one. I should have, but. So Pastor Justin sent me a sermon today, Believing Without Seeing. And actually, if you noticed in the bulletin, we were able to change that this morning. My wife put it in there, because this was not Brent's message, of course. He's not here. But anyway, so this sermon, he quickly worked up for me yesterday in a couple hours, and he sent it to me, and I was able to go through it last night. So just to give you background here. So we're going to be looking at a scripture lesson today. It's John 20, 19 through 31. And if I can get through this, I think everybody else can get through this, right? Okay, all right. Let's go. It's another happy Lord's Day that we're here and we're celebrating the Lord. So let's look at John 20. I'm going to read through a familiar, the King James Version doesn't get read very much anymore today. It gets ridiculed more than anything, but I think there's some amazing stuff in the King James Bible that just the way it's worded is just amazing. So it's not going to be as what you got in the pews there as in the NIV, but I'm going to read through the King James this morning. So we'll start with verse 19. A little background before I read this. Mary, this is right after Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she'd seen the Lord. Okay, so that's where we start. 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for the fear of Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see his hands, the print of his nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord, and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. So does the reading of God's word. So as we look at this passage today, we're gathering this morning after we celebrate a what? We celebrate Resurrection Sunday last week, right? So now we get a glimpse of what happened after Jesus resurrected. So we return this day, we return again to this day, and we're going to celebrate this, and we're going to look past it at what we celebrate it. We should be celebrating every Sunday. Every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, right? That's what we come here before, because he resurrected. Because Paul says in his word that if we don't believe in his resurrection, we are believing in vain. We don't believe anything. Why are we even here? If Jesus didn't raise, it doesn't do us any good to be here. The resurrection is central to the Christian faith. We have three core issues here. The incarnation, God became man in human form and to save his people. That's what he came. That's the incarnation. Number two, the crucifixion. Jesus paid the penalty for what? Our sins. That's number two. He paid the penalty for our sins. And thirdly, the resurrection. Jesus had victory over the grave. He rose again. We could actually celebrate all three of these every Sunday, couldn't we? All three of these should impact our lives greatly. All three reveal who God is, and all three reveal the great lengths he went to to give us this. This grace that saves his people. Our sermon text reveals their pursuit of God, his long-suffering with us. Not only for us in our sins, but he is long-suffering with us in weakness. The passage begins with the evening of the day of the resurrection, verse 19. That same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. This is amazingly remarkable. Jesus told his disciples repeatedly that he would suffer and die, but they didn't believe him. They didn't understand it. They said, "No, Lord, you're not going to die. You're going to be with us. You're going to be our king, our ruler." That's what they wanted. They wanted a king. So they didn't understand it until this time. He promised that he would raise from the dead on the third day, and they didn't believe him there either. He expressed his frustration with them. He was frustrated with him. So on the morning of the resurrection, we read in God's word that the woman went to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body. They expected to find him there. They were surprised when the tomb was empty. They went to tell the disciples. And guess what? The women came, they didn't believe it. So they had to run themselves and check it out. So none of the disciples, the apostles, believed him. Nobody believed he would rise. Nobody took Jesus at his word. There wasn't some little child in to keep the adults in. Don't worry, he'll rise again. There was no kid there to tell him that. Child had more faith than they did, probably. Their action spoke volumes for their unbelief. So when Jesus goes to the disciples later that first day, we have to marvel at the patience and the pursuit of God in our failures and our weaknesses. Because they had failures and weaknesses then, just like we do. Sometimes we think that we would be in that same position. We would know what to do. We would believe. I don't think anybody would. I think everybody would doubt, just like we doubt today sometimes. So as we go on in this scripture, as we look at this scene here, verse 21 through 22, then Jesus said unto them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. This is pretty remarkable stuff here too. This shows the power of God over the flesh. Even though these disciples failed Jesus tremendously, he still had purpose for them. Here he commissioned them for service. He sent them forth in the Spirit. We are pretty familiar with the Matthew's version of the Great Commission. Jesus told his disciples, Go, disciple the nations, baptizing and teaching. Here is part of John's version of the Great Commission. We know Jesus sent forth to teach the nations his word. John details that Jesus gave the disciples his Holy Spirit. The disciples had just demonstrated their weakness of the flesh, didn't they? They just demonstrated it. They were weak in the flesh. They couldn't believe. They doubted what the Lord said. We have plenty of evidence of their failures of faith in the four Gospels. If God is going to use weak humans to carry out his will on earth, he empowers them with his what? Spirit. The Church of Jesus Christ ministers in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. We serve in the power of the Holy Spirit. Flesh and blood cannot disciple the nations. Flesh and blood cannot change the hearts and minds. Only the Holy Spirit of God can perform such miracles. What we do as Christians and as a church makes no fleshy sense at all to the world, right? We give our time, we give our energy, we give our money, we come here every Sunday, we worship the Lord, and we can't even see anything. We haven't seen no evidence. But the world thinks we're crazy. What in the world are you doing? It just makes no sense. We spend time and we care about people. Some might not even know. We might not even know each other here if it wasn't for this church right here. Most of us probably wouldn't. We might know a few of us as neighbors, but we don't even know each other. But we come together. to worship on Sunday and give our glory to honor God, to God. We live in a long-term hope for something we don't even know what it would be like for sure. We get hints of it in the Bible. What's it going to be like? Why? It doesn't make sense. The world doesn't get it. It seems crazy to the world. It doesn't make sense that Christians will care and sacrifice so much for what we believe. Unless something great is happening, unless someone great is working in and through us, if you are sending these disciples out into the world to minister and suffer and die, you can't trust them to come through by their own strength. And we can't either. We can't come through our strength. We've got to use God's word. We've got to put the armor of God on. We can't do it on ourselves. We can't do it on our fleshly persons. We've got to use the Spirit of God. So Jesus sent them out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't miss this important point. What we do as Christians and what we do as church is not by our own strength. It's by the Spirit of God. Because flesh, we're not going to do it with the flesh. We go in the power of the true and living God. The Creator has carried out His will on earth through human vessels. How? By the power of the Spirit. So as we move forward, the next scene in John 20 occurs the following week, the next time the disciples meet on the first day of the week. Again, Jesus came to meet with His people. The significance of this scene is the presence of Thomas. We got something there. He was one of the original 12 disciples. He left everything to follow Jesus. And like the other disciples, he failed Jesus too. He didn't believe. He failed to believe the promised resurrection. But when Jesus met with His other disciples on the day of resurrection, Thomas wasn't there. When Jesus appeared and breathed the Holy Spirit on the other disciples, Thomas wasn't there. Thomas later showed unbelief when they told him about the Lord. So verse 25 says, "The other disciples therefore said unto Him, We have seen the Lord. But He said unto them, Except shall I see His hands, the print of His nails, and put my finger into the print of His nails, and thrust my hand in His side, I will not believe." Thomas didn't believe. He didn't believe His word. He didn't believe His promises. And he didn't believe the others when they confirmed the promise of God. Because of this, the church has recently called him what? Doubting Thomas. Wow. The name is appropriate, right? He did doubt, didn't he? This just doesn't seem fair. Why does he get a name like that? What about the other apostles? They didn't believe either, did they? They were just as bad as he was. Why didn't Peter get called gutless Peter? Or denying Peter? He didn't get called that at all. Thomas did, though. Thomas got called a name. John failed to believe, and he gets the title of disciple whom Jesus loved. That just doesn't seem fair, does it? Let's not beat up on Thomas any more than the other disciples. And really, knowing our own weaknesses in the flesh, our own weaknesses that we have, would we believe if we were in that position right now? Would we believe? But Thomas's doubting provided a great opportunity for God's grace. Wow, God's grace. Knowing Thomas's words and his weakness, Jesus came right to him. Jesus pursued with patience and grace. You want proof, Thomas? How about this? Verse 27. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And what was his response? My Lord, my God. He couldn't believe it. But he did then. The other disciples didn't respond like that. We have no explanation of faith like this. Either Jesus is God or Thomas just blasphemed the Lord or made blasphemy against God. This is the kind of thing that would get a guy stoned back in them days. If you said something like that, the Jews would stone you. Because you blasphemed God, trying to claim somebody that Jesus was God. So they definitely truly believed, because that's what they stood for. Even though they could be threatened and put in prison and died. And they eventually did die. All the apostles died because of what they believed. That just shows you how truthful God's word is and how truthful this really happened. Thomas didn't live by faith. He didn't trust Jesus. Thomas didn't take him at his word. He wanted confirmation that he could see and touch. This is weakness. This is weakness of the flesh. This is not walking by faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Jesus told his disciples what would happen. We can read the gospel and see just how clear he was. And they didn't believe. So when we go back to the gospel, Jesus was pretty clear on what he was preaching, wasn't it? It was pretty clear. But yet they didn't believe it. They were looking for something else. They were looking for a king, like I said earlier. We marvel at unbelief when God's word is so clear. Where's the confusion? Why can't they see it? This is the weakness of the faith. This is unbelief. The responsibility is ours and ours alone. We cannot blame God that our weakness prevents us from believing His word. God is not guilty or lack of faith. We praise Him for the grace He gives each and every one of us. But He is not responsible for our sin of unbelief. Thomas's lack of faith was his sin. The disciples bore the blame of their own unbelief. Every time we would doubt, the sin is ours. When we hear God's word and don't like what we're hearing, that's on us. That's our flesh. That's us. We don't like what we're hearing. We hear something being preached, we don't like it. That's my sin. That's your sin. We need to repent and believe what the word says. Thanks be to God for his patience and pursuit. He comes to us in our unbelief. He comes with his peace. He meets with us in mercy and love. And he breathes his spirit to strengthen us, to give us comfort and encourage us. Thomas doubted, then he made a good confession. If we lack faith, we have grace through our Lord, who will forgive us and grant us repentance by his spirit. This passage ends with our reason for hope and rejoicing in Christ Jesus. The second group, that's us. Let's look at verse 29. Jesus said unto them, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That's us. The risen Christ ascended into heaven and won't return until his enemies are under his feet. Our faith is based on the testimony of the apostles. This is given to us in the Word of God. You believe because the Word has been given to you. We haven't seen the bodily risen Lord, have we? No. But we have the Word that tells us that He did rise and the witnesses of it. How crazy are we to believe this? Are we crazier? Do you think that sometimes? You can talk to a person that doesn't believe, doesn't go to church, whatever, and they think we're at. I've seen testimonies. I've seen video clips of people trying to evangelize out in the street. And there's people that do it. There's Keith Darrell. We sponsor him. That's what he does in colleges. He preaches. He goes out and preaches in the colleges. And he tries to bring the word. I've seen video clips of people doing that. And the world out there doesn't want to accept it. They don't want to believe it. Because they're caught in their sins and their flesh. When you see some of the video clips, it makes you think a little bit. Why? I believe the prince of today that is deceiving people. Pulling them away from God. But we have faith. And faith is a gift of God. John concludes his gospel with this explanation, verse 30, 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which were not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And in believing, ye might have life through his name. So these are written down for what? Us. That we may believe in what it says here. So we can live by it. So we can hold it in our hands. Some people take it for granted. Think we have Bibles. We shouldn't take it for granted. It's amazing that we have Bibles. But God definitely preserved his word for us today. So we are blessed to believe. We are blessed even though we haven't seen Jesus. The grace of our God has been shown to us through his word. He dwells in us if we believe. So, if we can be like Thomas, we can believe, my Lord, my God. That's who he is. That's the end of that message, but I wanted to conclude with the gospel for us. What is the gospel? I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 15. And I'm going to read the gospel. That's for us. That Paul was revealed to Paul. And this is the gospel for us today. And it fits perfectly with the sermon. Because the apostles didn't know this gospel. But Paul was revealed to us. Chapter 15, 1 Corinthians. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved by this gospel. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. But also it concludes a little bit more there. Just to show us the nature of the historical document here. That he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. And after that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once. This is what we're supposed to remember. This is history. This is just not hearsay. It's not just a legend. It's truth. Of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. So some of them have already passed at that time. So I just wanted to share with you this message today. Pastor gave this to me to preach here today. And I thank you for listening to me and allowing me to do this. But that gospel right there is what saves us right there. But I just read to you, that's what saves you. That's our gospel. Nothing else saves us. None of our works. Just believing in his gospel. That's what saves us. If you believe that, you are saved. You could put your trust completely in Jesus Christ and him on the cross. That's what you do. Nothing else you can do but that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word you've given us. What an amazing thing you've done for us. Be with us and guide us in our everyday walk with you. We have got a lot of things in the world, that strongholds of the world that make us doubt. we know we can trust and have faith in your word. Give us wisdom and give us knowledge from your word every day. Help us put on the armor of God every day that Paul tells us to do. And that's reading his word. It will change your life. We thank you, Father. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.